I am ready when you are.
Ready as you're going to be, right?
Absolutely.
We're now joined by Dr. Richard Willis, member of the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition. Not only that, he's got a very busy business card because he's also Vice President for Engineering, Research, and Technology for the National Asphalt Pavement Association. And Dr. Willis, what we're going to be talking about is something that's very near and dear to the hearts of folks here in the Shenandoah Valley, and that would be infrastructure. Interstate 81 is, of course, the one in our area that grabs the most attention, but infrastructure just in general, I think we're becoming more and more aware of, and it's, I guess, lack of maintenance, lack of care, and current dilapidation seems to be a real concern.
Well, absolutely. One of the challenges that we're facing right now is we're in a time where we're looking at the reauthorization of the FAST Act. We started a few years ago really looking at the funding issue. And what we're trying to do right now is figure out a source of funding that will be long-term fixed for the Highway Trust Fund and really allow our states and local agencies to invest the money that they need in our infrastructure to really keep them updated, well-maintained, and put them in a better source state for everybody who's using them.
It seems like for a while we were, it seemed if not weekly, at least monthly, we were getting reports on, be it bridges or be it highways or be it something else, of just how far behind they were on maintenance or how many of them needed fairly immediate attention. And I guess, is this just something that the government just doesn't have money to pay for?
Well, if we think about the stream of revenue that we've been using to really maintain and build our infrastructure, it's a partnership between state agencies and the federal government. And if you specifically look at Virginia, they get about 70% of their funding for infrastructure from the federal government. Now, if we think about where that money is coming from, most of it comes from a gas tax that was raised in 1993 to about 18.4 cents a gallon. 1993, we haven't increased the cost of the way or the method that we used to pay for these roadways. That was 25 years ago. So in that time, we've gone from the loaf of bread costing a dollar to where it's $2.50 to $3 a day or a loaf today. 1993 was also UB40, Can't Help Falling in Love with You, was the number one song in America at that time. Times have drastically changed, but we've done nothing to really increase the amount of funding that is going into our roadways. So the cost of construction, the cost of materials, while that escalates, we've done nothing to index that or increase that funding to match those changing costs. So what happens is the dollar just doesn't go as far today as it did at that point, and we need to find a way to make that basically increase of construction costs and materials costs match funds today so that we can make it go further. It's definitely a challenge trying to figure out the way to make that funding increase happen. About 30 state agencies or state governments at this point have increased their gas taxes, and people are exploring other options as well. But it's definitely something that is at the forefront of our minds, trying to figure out how do we develop this long-term solution to ensure that we can maintain the funding. The other challenge is a lot of the roads that we're looking at today, they were designed and built in the 50s and 60s, and we're reaching the end of their design life. They were designed to last 40 to 50 years, and then they were challenged to maintain them and keep them in good operating condition. So they performed well. They performed the way they were supposed to. But now we just have the responsibility to keep them going into the near future and well beyond that so that we inherit the legacy that was created in the 50s and 60s. It's our job now to perpetuate that legacy into the future and continue to make sure that our infrastructure performs.
Yeah. So how do we go from UB40 to Cardi B? I mean, is the answer, you know, we look at the gas tax and that's what they're going to do to us here regionally. They're going to set up a regional extra state gas tax to make some fixes to Interstate 81, specifically here in the Shenandoah Valley. And you look at that and then I say, well, you know, we're also on this big push for folks who are driving electric cars. They're also using the roads, but is there some sort of fee set up for them? You know, because ultimately, to me, a gas tax is a user fee. It makes some sense for sure. But then when you have other people using it who don't have to pay that same user fee, I think folks may struggle a bit.
And I agree that that is a current challenge in the situation. Right now, the gas tax is probably the easiest thing to implement. I know other areas of the country in Northern Virginia and around the Beltway, I know tolling is a big revenue source for people to reinvest back in their infrastructure. People are looking at private-public partnerships to really drive funding into this. Other states are looking at vehicle miles traveled, or VMT, to as an alternative source of funding. Right now, all these different options are on the table, and people are kind of exploring them to figure out what is that fix, what is that way to ensure that in 25 years we're not having the same conversation about how are we going to keep the funding mechanism for our infrastructure. And electric vehicles are part of that conversation, or they're going to have to be part of that conversation as they become more and more popular and more common.
You talked about tolls and that sort of thing. I grew up in Baltimore, and for a period of time for work and school, I had to go through the Harbor Tunnel every day. So I paid a toll every day, and back then you could buy the tickets, which was cool because you got a little bit of a discount. But I guess a lot of people then would say, well, gosh, with all the tolls, haven't we bought this tunnel a million times over? But do you think people, there's a little bit of a disconnect of understanding how much it costs to maintain the system that we have, let alone build onto it?
I think there's a huge disconnect between people understanding what it really takes to maintain and operate and build our infrastructure. I know it was something that, as I joined the industry, was eye-opening to me. And I taught at Auburn University for 8 years before I came up here. And when we started talking to the students about the life cycle costs and how much it really took to maintain, not just build a mile of road, but then keep it going into 40 to 50 years. And it wasn't just thinking, I mean, they were thinking about it in terms of, well, I pay this much gas tax. In terms of the amount that you actually pay to what you actually get out of the system, we don't pay a whole lot to actually use and have access to our roadways.
So I guess I'd be left to ask you, how do you actually see a light at the end of the tunnel? And don't tell me it's a train, but is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Is something going to actually happen? Or are we just going to get to a point where it's inevitable that we start fixing this and that we come up with some sort of system to fund it?
I think the good news is that right now it is definitely a topic of conversation, and that there is some movement towards discussing this with the massive infrastructure bill, with not just Trump, but Trump's talking to Congress, and Congress is looking at this. I know the Senate EPW committee is looking at the highway reauthorization bill right now, and so they are making movement towards that. And one of the things that we're encouraging people to do is to talk to their representatives and let them know that this is a priority for us. I think that they know it's a priority, but the more they hear that from their constituency, and the more people say, you know what, I'm willing to increase my gas tax, I'm willing to chip in to help solve this national issue that we're facing, I think the more they hear that, the sooner we're going to move to that light, and the sooner it's going to become not just a light at the end of the tunnel, it's going to become the reality that we live in. And we're going to be able to work with them to find that solution.
Dr. Willis, I greatly appreciate your time today. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, and I appreciate it, and we're here for whatever we can do for y'all.